presents E3 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
All right, so we're live here at E3 2019, and I'm checking out the Xbox showcase. But you know, every year I have to get our friend Aaron Greenberg from Xbox. Aaron, what's up, man? Another year.
It's good to be here, and always good to be talking to Gamertag Radio.
Yeah, man. I really enjoyed the press conference, the briefing yesterday. I felt like it was for everybody. Because previously, a lot of the companies might focus on just one particular game or genre. This one, there was everything. All types of games. So what was the change that you guys wanted to do for this year compared to like the previous?
Yeah, that was the challenge we set out, was that we wanted to build a briefing for all gamers. You know, we knew a couple things. We knew that Sony wasn't doing a briefing this year. We also knew, you know, as you've seen, you know, our strategy has really been to evolve from being just a device-centric brand to being player-centric. And we know as gamers that we love the console and we love Xbox, and I think we delivered a lot of goodness for people that love and play games on Xbox, but there's a lot of gamers that play games on PC. There's a lot of gamers that play games on both console and PC. And so as we think about gaming, you know, it continues to be not only the largest but the fastest-growing form of entertainment. We want to be able to deliver more of our games and more of our experiences and keep that community connected no matter where they want to play.
Let me tell you, man, the moment that the crowd went nuts, Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Nobody was expecting that. that reminded me of Rock Band Beatles. When the Beatles showed up, it was that iconic, I think, that moment. How was it for you guys?
It was like, awesome. Okay, I got to help work on that E3 too, and a similar, you know, it was like we've been rehearsing, we've been practicing, but you know, like until that morning, you don't know if the Beatles are going to show up. Yes. You know, it's like we're planning on the Beatles showing up, but if they don't, we still have to go on with the show. And it was, you know, similar for Keanu. It was like, but it was awesome. I was sitting there with the fans. You know, I like to sit in what I call the eye of the storm, just to see. I loved hearing like fans guessing what things are and just seeing them real time reacting. Yeah. And they, when the trailer revealed Keanu in the game, people started screaming and jumping up and down, and I was like, "Oh, just wait!
Oh, just wait!
No, because I'm like, you know, I know that he's about to come out, and it was awesome. It was so great, and to see everyone's reactions, and I think Keanu was also pretty impressed by the passion. I mean, you know, you go to other, you know, the Oscars, the Grammys, other forms of entertainment, and their big shows. Nothing compares to what you get at E3 and our briefing and the energy our fans bring. Mm-hmm. And so we get that reaction from a lot of people. And it was just great to see it all come together in a special moment that I think none of us will ever forget.
Yeah, very iconic moment, man. And another moment for me that it was special. And I think you saw my tweet probably.
I did.
Fanny Star Online.
Oh, yeah.
The reason why I mentioned it is because when I started internet radio, it was that game. That's the reason why I started radio, online radio. And it was on the Dreamcast. So was this like more of a Sega thing or Xbox got involved? Like how was the process of that? Because it's been so long.
Well, listen, I have mad love for Dreamcast. $99.99. Yes. I was there. I bought it at launch. I've been following you from the very beginning as well, Danny. And I think it's great. I mean, I knew you were a big PSO fan back in the day. I mean, it was great. Listen, you know, Phil, I think, has been pretty open about the fact that he goes to Japan. He goes and spends a lot of time with the creators. We have a deep history with Sega, huge admiration for what they do. And it was a unique opportunity to be able to bring Phantasy Star Online 2 to the console in the West, and a great time to do it, too. So, and you're right. I mean, listen, we have a unique history there, being able to take a lot of the magic that came from Dreamcast and Phantasy Star Online and having it as part of the original Xbox. And there are fans like you that were there and that are still with us today. And so this is a special moment for them. And it was awesome to see your reaction.
Yeah, I'm not joking. I was shaking. I was like, no, this can't be like, it can't be real. So I freaked out, man. So it was cool. Very cool moment for me, man.
Yeah.
So those were like the two highlights for me of the whole show. Another thing too, Project X Cloud. There was a lot of people saying, man, Microsoft didn't really talk much about it during the briefing. But I was saying, and also Paris, is like, it's hard to explain something like that on stage.
Yeah.
It's more of like, you got to get hands-on and get that experience, hands-on-wise, so...
You're 100% right, and that's why we didn't dedicate as much time to it, is that, you know, there's some things that really make sense to show in a briefing like that.
Yeah.
You know, seeing games, you know, there's a lot of assets and things we create. The streaming and xCloud requires a lot of explanation for a lot of people because it's so new and so different, and how does it work, and what's the difference between something in the cloud, and how does home console streaming work? So we have it here hands-on. It's real. It's playable. And you can stream and play. We were just playing some games, you know, that's actually an Xbox on a rack in a server in the cloud. So for gaming on the go is the best way I would describe it, is people want to be able to play gaming on the go. If you don't have an Xbox, you don't have a console, we'll basically put a console in the cloud for you and let you stream and have that gaming on the go experience, which is what, you know, a lot of people are talking about cloud gaming is. But one of the beauties of our hybrid gaming cloud architecture is that we're also able to leverage the fact that we have, you know, tens of millions of people that own an Xbox console that have big libraries of games, and to be able to allow you to stream from your home console every game you already own with no developer having to do any work for free on the go to your mobile phone is a great advantage, we think, and a great choice. And it gives more, you know, you've invested in the console, you invested in your games, and but today you largely can't play those games outside of the living room. So we think that was a nice benefit as well. For some people, they're like, listen, I just want to play console games in the living room. Great.
Yeah.
Don't need to worry about the cloud. But for people that want... Exactly. So just giving gamers more choice, whether they have the console or they're not, or they don't, streaming and xCloud opens up new possibilities, which is exciting.
You want to hear our crazy theory?
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
So yesterday, because there was the announcement of the partnership with Sony, then it was Apple... with the new update, now you can use your Xbox controller. So I'm like, oh man, that's multiple announcements right before E3. So I'm thinking, wow, it will be cool if Nintendo and Microsoft on stage, Project xCloud on the device. It didn't happen. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but I think that would be a cool moment for me, like, to see that live on stage, you know? So... What'd you think?
Is that a question? Or?
No. My theory is that I thought there was going to be like a partnership with Nintendo, because you guys been close to working with them for a while now.
Yeah.
And there's been some a couple announcements. So, you know.
I mean, I think what you're saying is that, you know, so there's the, do we make devices that compete with each other? Sure. But then also on the other end, you look at the cloud architecture and the gaming tech that runs on that. We have something called PlayFab, which is a whole set of tools that runs on top of the Azure cloud with our Microsoft gaming stack. And so when we go and talk to game developers and we go talk to people that are building games as a service, trying to build games across more devices, what we're hearing from a lot of those partners is that we have the best in class. You know, we have more service, the Azure architecture, the amount of servers we have around the world, that scale is really unprecedented. And then we have all these tools and capabilities with Microsoft Game Stack that runs on top of that. And so that's been really attractive for developers and partners. In some cases, some of those people have been competitors in some set, but they want to use our tech and stuff as well. Yeah. So it's great. I think, you know, Phil gets a lot of credit for all this. I mean, he's really, you know, somebody that goes out and talks to everyone in the industry and with the mindset of, hey, how can we all work together in a way that benefits gamers? And if we put gamers first and gamers at the center of everything we do, you know, really, and that's why you've seen our strategy evolve from being device-centric to gamer-centric. You're going to make different types of decisions. You're going to work with different people that you might not have worked with before. And ultimately, gamers are the ones that will benefit.
Yeah, there is a... Because I tried Project xCloud today.
What'd you think?
Mind-blowing. Yeah. I was playing Forza Horizon.
Yep.
And I went online like to compete with other people, and it was still smooth. And it was an Android device, I think it was.
Yep.
And it was really smooth.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for the public to actually get some hands-on. in the future.
The experience is really impressive. You play with the controller or with the touch overlays?
With the controller.
With the controller, yeah. So they've got both the controller running, and then they're also mapping the controller touch overlays, and then there's this cloud aware, so developers know. So, like, you know, the Playground Turn 10 team will know, ooh, my game's being run. It's cloud aware, so we can actually surface different types of controls if we want to.
That's cool.
For the game. If not, we don't have, you don't have to do anything. Literally just let it work with a controller. But yeah, I think you're probably hitting like a server here in California.
Yeah, I think they said San Francisco.
San Francisco, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even here in Southern California, you know, you're getting a great low latency experience.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's exciting. We're able to deliver that and running that those tests, getting consumers to be able to start getting hands on this holiday with that.
Yeah. So let's talk about Game Pass, man. You guys really have been pushing it this time. So when we were walking, I noticed that I see the advertisement of Gears, but it was that logo everywhere. Xbox Game Pass. Xbox Game Pass. So what is next now for the service? Like, you guys are really pushing it. So I'm seeing a lot of premier games that release, and it also will be available there too.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at how do we continue to add more and more value to Game Pass for gamers. I mean, it's quickly become the leading gaming subscription service in the industry. We've got millions and millions of members. And so we're growing our Xbox Game Studios. All of the games that we're bringing from Xbox Game Studios are going into Game Pass and premiering into Game Pass at launch, which allows people to not only have the over 100 game catalog, but also have all the newest releases that we make. And then, you know, when working with PC developers and PC gamers, you know, there's been a real appetite to say, hey, can we go build something, a game subscription service uniquely for the PC gamer as well? And so that's what we announced, you know, officially at E3 is Game Pass for PC, which is another great, you know, great offer and a great option for PC gamers that want all of our titles that we put at launch, whether it's Flight Simulator, Age, Gears 5, you name it, you know, Halo, MCC, etc. And then, you know, probably like you or like, you know, Paris and other folks that are like, hey, I play both console and PC. We put those all together in the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, which gives you Xbox Live Gold, Game Pass for console, Game Pass for PC. I mean, for $15 a month, such a credible deal. And of course, as you know, yeah, we have a special $1 offer for people that want to go try it.
People got to take advantage of that.
I mean, at that price, you just run out of games to play, and there's so many. And so, you know, it's just an incredible value. And we're going to keep adding more and more. You know, like we added Double Fine is the latest studio to join Xbox Game Studios. So Psychonauts 2, when it launches, will go into Game Pass included. So it's just more value for gamers and more value for Game Pass. It's fun. It's been great. I mean, I think that's why we're leading with Game Pass, because we know for gamers it's the best value. If people want to buy the game, they absolutely can. They can pre-order. They can buy. We have an Ultimate Edition of Gears. You want to get that, you can. Get the 4 days early access. Get all the add-on content. But if you're a Game Pass Ultimate member, we give you the Ultimate Edition of Gears included.
Again,
another great value for being a Game Pass Ultimate member.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the future, man. Like, I can see myself, let's say I can't afford the next console. Let's say I can't afford it.
Sure.
But I have the controller connected to my Samsung TV, let's say.
Yep.
Play the streaming, play Game Pass. Like, I see the future with this, man.
Yes.
You know, like, it's going to be a very cool gaming experience, man, I think.
There's so many different ways to deliver gaming experience to customers, and we don't want to let today's devices and technology get in the way of delivering that. But at the same time, we're also thinking about ways to add more value. So even for the console, things like, I don't know if you're familiar with Xbox All Access, but similarly, for one low monthly fee, you can actually get the console, get Game Pass, and get Xbox Live all included. And it's just like, if you upgrade your phone from your phone carrier, you know, you'll be able to, in many cases, get the latest upgrade, and you just pay a low monthly fee. You know, we're at least doing it with music, with video. And so we're just trying to make gaming more approachable and more affordable for more people.
So my question about the next console, look, I have Xbox One X.
Yeah.
And maybe there's some people that just purchase Xbox One S. Should they be worried that you guys are going out to the next console and just focus on that, or are you still going to continue to support older devices? Or
yeah, I mean, I think what you're seeing is that a couple things. I mean, one is that the generations and kind of the mindset of that when you go from one generation to the next, mm-hmm. that you lose compatibility, that you have to restart, that all the things you invested in don't work. And, you know, we've talked about having both forward compatibility and backward compatibility. Mm-hmm. And so one of the great things is that when we do launch the Project Scarlet console, you'll be able to play all your Xbox One games, but you'll actually be able to play four generations of games because of all the investments we've made in backward compatibility. Mm-hmm. So we're really thoughtful about making sure your games work, that your accessories work, and so that people don't lose what they've invested in. At the same time, you know, we talked about the fact that Halo Infinite is going to be, you know, a killer showcase title, taking advantage of Project Scarlet at launch. But we're also going to be able to bring Halo Infinite to Xbox One owners. So if you have an Xbox One S or an Xbox One X, and you're not ready to upgrade, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You can go ahead and buy Halo Infinite and have the game. And when you are ready to upgrade, it'll run and look better on Project Scarlet when you're ready to make that investment. Or if you never are, that's also okay.
Yeah, I was very curious to see like how you guys were going to announce Project Scarlet. I don't know if you guys were going to mention a lot about the specs or keep a lot until the future. So why was it important to mention certain things in that presentation during the briefing about the project?
Yeah, I mean, we have a year and a half, over a year before we have to really, you know, get into the finer details and people are making purchasing decisions. But I think what we want to be able to signal is that we've been spending a lot of time thinking about the architecture, thinking about what defines a next generation game, talking to our development partners. And traditionally, it's all been about just the graphics and the power. And what we're at today is we're delivering with the Xbox One X 4K gaming. And what we're really seeing is the next generation, yes, we're going to be able to add significantly more processing power, but speed is going to be a huge difference. We're going to, with the SSD architecture, we're going to be able to be 40 times faster. So your games will basically instantly load. So this ultra fast gaming today, when we're loading and waiting and games are even designed around that types of experiences, mm-hmm. that's largely going to go away. Frame rate's another big one. So, you know, listen, we get 4K today, but a lot of times we're getting 30 frames. 60 frames being the standard and be able to go up to 120 frames per second is going to be a huge benefit for the next generation. So I think mm-hmm. frames, processing power, frame rate, all those types of things are going to be some of the benefits. And then when you give that type of power and capability to game developers, it's really interesting, like, what type of experiences and creativity do they build around that? And that will come now that we kind of talk the specs and some of the high level details. We give the dev kits and everything to our game developers, and then, you know, we get to show the games and things that are going to go take advantage of that. Yeah. But obviously Infinite will be our hero, and we'll launch with Project Scarlet in holiday 2020.
That's one thing. That game, the last time that we got to see a Halo game launch for Xbox was the original Xbox.
That's correct.
So I think that's very smart, and finally, thank God you guys are actually doing that, because there's a lot of people that are huge fans of that game, man, of the series, so it's a big move for you guys.
We all have very fond memories of Halo Combat Evolved launching with the original Xbox, and we've wanted to do it many times, but for development reasons or whatever, hardware or dev team reasons, we haven't been able to line it up. And so the team was all very convicted and very aligned that this is the time to do it. And so it's exciting to be able to share that now with all our fans.
Double Fine.
Yeah.
That was a really cool moment. I know you guys have been announcing studios now, like, almost every briefing or something. But how important was it to get them to be part of the Xbox family? And what is it that you guys look for, like, in a studio? Is it history, or what is it? What is it that
I mean, you know, I get to spend a lot of time with Matt Booty, who runs our Xbox Game Studios, mm-hmm. and he has a really, really deep history, entire career in making video games, working with teams, talent, people, and he has a real sense of the types of teams that really can go and make great games. And I think if you look at the team at Double Fine, you'll see a lot of similarities between them and Ninja Theory or Obsidian or these other teams, which are, these are teams that have really unique creative visions, mm-hmm. the history of making great games, and not just great games, but games that are critically acclaimed, you know? And mm-hmm. if you look at gosh, I mean, the Tim Schafer and the team there, I mean, they are so creative. The games that they, whether it's Psychonauts, which we have some history with, Brutal Legend, Grim Fandango, all the stuff they've done over the years, you know, they make really, really incredible games. The same with the team of Obsidian, Ninja Theory. So, and they, in many ways, are complementary to what we have. So they're not like, you know, people know our internal studios are bringing things like Gears, Halo, Forza. And so to add these other teams that really are bringing uniquely creative games that are different than what we have in our internal studios is a great addition. And a lot of these studios that, and I think Double Fine's in the same space, and Tim Schafer talked about it in their internal video, you know, they had to do crowdfunding. They had to go out and try to pitch people to fund their games. They have these visions of the games they make, but they can't go make them unless they can actually sell them to a partner or get consumers to self-fund them. And so one of the nice things is, by becoming part of the Xbox Game Studios, we're able to kind of remove all that pressure and let them just go focus on making great games. And if you talk to every single one of these folks, you'll see we give them the freedom, the creative freedom to go make the games that we're not here to tell them how to make their games. They've already proven a long track record of history of making great games. You know, whether it's, you know, Ninja Theory with Hellblade, or it's Obsidian, you know, and what they've done, over the many years, as well, you know, it's the same. It's the same with this team, and we're gonna. It's exciting to add them to the family.
This is the first year that there's no Forza. This year, why the break?
Well, I think what we've seen is that we don't have to launch a new game with a new number on the end in order to deliver innovation and new experiences. And you know, we for a long time wanted to take the Forza Horizon universe and to combine it with something unique like Lego. And so the Lego Speed Champions was really a unique experience, and I guess we could have made that its own unique game, but we felt like it made more sense to build it in the Forza Horizon 4 universe. And the amount of innovation and just the, I think the excitement that that's going to bring for players, I think in many ways is, you know, it's going to be huge. And so that's what we focused on this year. With that said, you know, there's a lot of teams working on future Forza stuff. And when we're ready to share more, we definitely will.
Yeah, very cool, man. I don't know, Aaron, like, I'm just happy with you guys, man. You guys been, I feel like it's good that sometimes you guys have made a lot of mistakes in the past. You learn from your mistakes. And I feel like you guys are really hungry right now, especially now with so many things going on with the service, xCloud, console. So it's good that you guys been stepping up a lot, man, especially that interaction still to this day with the community, because you guys are always interacting with them, social media and everything too. So it's good to see that change, man, you know. So I'm proud of you guys, man. So we go way back.
We
go way
back. We do. I appreciate that. And you know, I love our fans and our community, and I try to spend time with them, and you know, helped put together our first ever fan fest, and you know, it's just been fun. I mean, it's my favorite part of the week is spending time with the fans, because that is who we actually do this all for. And to see the like joy and emotion and passion that they have is just it's incredible. And we do work hard, and we try to learn, and we try to improve and listen to the feedback. I think that's built into our culture. And we have a great team. It's a lot of the same people here that have been here for many, many years that are committed to continuing to deliver for our fans. So it's good. It's good to hear the feedback, and we're not going to get it all right. We're also listening to the criticism, and it's all good. We always appreciate it, good and bad. And every year we try to build on and deliver for fans.
Do you see you guys doing having another XO event in the future, or not really, or?
I think we will talk more about that on Inside Xbox today. So it's all good. Yeah. I mean, we'll talk more about XO. I'll let Phil officially give the details.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I would say stay tuned.
Yeah, I was very happy that you guys had it on in Mexico.
Yeah.
Because they never experienced that before, you know, like in Mexico at all. So that was very cool to see that.
No, our fans in Mexico are amazing.
They're hardcore, dude.
They are. They are hardcore.
Yeah.
And it was cool for me because I don't know if you know, I studied Spanish for a couple of years. And the one time in my life I ever got to do a whole presentation in Spanish, I did it at FanFest in Mexico City, I think 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I went in, I let fans vote for like what I was gonna wear, and they get to pick my outfit. They put me in a onesie, which is pretty cool. So I'm out there in a onesie doing my whole presentation in Spanish.
That's cool.
It was so much fun, yeah. And I had to very, very basic Spanish it, but I did it, and it was great. The fans are so passionate. Oh, so yeah. We'll talk more about EXO this week and what we're gonna do and where we're gonna do it. Awesome. But yeah, big thanks to our fans in Mexico for all their love.
I forgot to mention too. So we were sitting down. The press conference, hang out, you know, trailers. And we have a common friend that also was sitting next to us and watching a trailer, Flight Simulator.
Yeah.
He worked on that game. So it was like, that was I think his first game that he promoted.
As oh, no PR. Way.
Yeah. So he was like, wow, this is a good moment for me, man. So why bring back Flight Simulator, man? Now you're rocking the shirt right
yeah,
now.
I got the shirt on. This is the original 1977 key art for the game.
Yeah. Old school.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to do it at the right time where there was the right technology and right reason to make a new flight sim.
Yeah.
And we have a dedicated team working on it.
Who's working on it?
We have an internal team, and then we also have external with the Sobo, okay. Who's in France.
Yeah,
and so between those two teams, we're building the game. You know, I think one of the things that we talked about, how we show the trailer in real time, using Azure AI, but also we're using the Bing Maps data as well. So we're able to real time map the world as you fly around. So there's a lot of tech that we're machine learning and AI tech and the Bing Maps tech that hasn't existed before, mm-hmm. and we're able to build that into a new generation of flight simulator game. And you can see visually, you have a high power PC, you're going to get some stunning visuals. Mm-hmm. And there's still a very active flight sim community that's still playing those games. Some of our old games, playing.
Still to this day.
Yes. There's still millions of flight sim enthusiasts still playing those games. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be able to go talk to them as well as bring more fans into that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's fun. It's exciting. And we know it's traditionally been a huge PC franchise, and so to bring it back with all new kind of tech and experiences should be really fun.
One more, Blair Witch. Is that a micro? I don't know who's working on that game.
It's an ID at Xbox game.
Okay.
I know Lionsgate made the film. I forget who the developer is, the top of my head. But we saw that and the game and the trailer, and we got so scared.
Yes.
We were like, holy crap, this thing is amazing. We all grew up on Blair Witch.
Yeah.
And so it's fun to see them making a game like this. And our ID team is really excited about it. They've been playing the game.
Yeah.
And they, so it was fun to be able to showcase it in the briefing. That will be a fun game, and I will probably not play it because I'm a hell nah on that game. So just a little. I mean, maybe I'll try it, but
I mean, it's cool to see. It's also Xbox Game Pass. Also.
It is.
I was like, all right,
it is.
And
that's the great thing now, to be able to have over half of all the games in our briefing are premiering at Game Pass at launch.
Yeah,
you know, if you're a Game Passer, but you just sit there and go, oh, that I get that game, I get that game, I get that game. You don't have to go buy those games; they're included in my subscription. It's a great value.
I would like to see more third parties also get involved with Xbox Game Pass. And mm-hmm. they have like the older games,
yep.
but maybe same day release, similar to first party titles. Like, I think that would be cool too, maybe if third party.
You know, we're seeing a lot of the ID developers do that.
ID, yeah.
Yeah.
ID, yes.
And so, because they're able to bring their games to a much broader audience. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's great. I mean, the Handsome Collection, Borderlands is going in. So we've got good third party support. But yeah, you know, developers have the choice of how they want to use Game Pass and balance their own business, and we totally respect that. But it's been great. We've had good response from our partners that have been in the service, and as subscription continues to grow, I think it'll create new opportunities hopefully as well.
It's good for ID at Xbox, especially for the indie, because you might discover some cool games like that just using the service. So it's like,
there are games that literally become hits because people discover them in Game Pass. I think Human Fall Flat's just one example of that, where, you know, kind of a smaller puzzle game, this 90 game that people probably wouldn't have played or bought at that scale, mm-hmm. now are playing it, and a developer is able to reach a whole new audience and may even be able to go sequel the game or add on more content for the game because they have an existing audience of fans that are playing it that would not have existed without Game Pass. Yeah. So like we've seen with, you know, video streaming services where things kind of become hits, we think gaming has the same opportunity with Game Pass.
All right. Well, Aaron, just want to say thanks for interview every year. We always doing this. That's good. You've always been a good supporter, man. Huge supporter of ours, man. So thanks.
Oh,
so
no,
much,
I appreciate it. I listen to the show. I'm a fan of what you've done. And I would just like to say thank you for all you've done. I don't think there's anybody in the Xbox podcasting community that's put in more hours, more time, more passion. You were there from day one. And, you know, you were real and you have been there for your listeners and have been there a huge part of our community. So thank you for all that you've done as well, Godfrey. Right.
Thanks, Aaron.
Appreciate it. Boop.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.